It's good to see you today. As we celebrate Advent together and we think about all that that means, we'll be in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 56 in just a moment. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for your love for us. And we thank you, Lord, for this season and for all that it means. Lord, it amazes us to realize that when Mary kissed her baby, she did kiss the face of the Lord and God of the universe. And it's beyond our comprehension to fully grasp that, but we thank you for that. And we thank you that the Lord of all creation became flesh to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could know you and be right with you. Thank you, O God. Lord, we do just ask you to bless the preaching, the expounding of your word. And we pray that you bless your people, that as we hear it, we'd respond in obedience to whatever you'd say to us through it. We pray that you speak life to any that might not know what it means to be a believer, and you might grant them salvation. They might call upon the name of the Lord even today and be saved. Father, bless this day to the glory of your name. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 56. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old ages conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary rose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Nancy Hanks was born in Hampshire County, Virginia, in 1784. She was raised by her grandparents. We think maybe she was born out of wedlock, and so that's why her grandparents raised her. We have really no record of her father. After her grandparents died, she lived with her mother. and her stepfather for a time, and then she went to live with her aunt and uncle, Elizabeth and Thomas Sparrow. In 1806, she married Thomas Lincoln, and she bore him three children, Sarah, Abraham, and Thomas. Thomas died soon after he was born. The family migrated from Kentucky to Indiana, where in October of 1818, Nancy became ill and she died. Nancy's widowed husband, Thomas, then a few months later went back to Kentucky, hearing that his childhood friend, Sarah Bush Johnson, had become a widow and was raising three children. And so he went to her and in almost a businesslike way said, You have children, I have children, we've known each other, let's get married. And that's basically what they did. She accepted his proposal and they began to live together as husband and wife. He took her back to Indiana and they made a blended family of seven. Now we would know nothing of Nancy Hanks or Sarah Bush Johnson except their son and stepson went on to become the 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln was highly influenced by these two women. He says in much of his writings and memoirs. We know of Nancy Hanks Lincoln and Sarah Bush Lincoln because of the great accomplishment of Abraham Lincoln. We know of them because of the greatness of their son. We read this morning of a young woman from Nazareth in Galilee in Israel named Mary. Mary was probably, when these events that we read about took place, she was probably between 13 and 15 years of age, because that was the normal time in a young Jewish woman's life where she was betrothed. She was engaged. Mary was betrothed or engaged or pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Now, it's more than just engagement. It's if a couple was betrothed, they were actually considered to be legally married, and that engagement, that betrothal, could only be broken by divorce. We know of Mary this day because 2,000 years ago, she became the mother of the Savior of the world. We know of her because of the greatness of her son, Jesus Christ. As we look at the events surrounding her calling to be the mother of the Son of God, we learn a truth about ourselves from what God did through her and His calling upon her. And that truth is this: if people remember us for anything when we leave the earth, it ought to be because of our connection to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We know of Mary because God made her an object of His grace and chose her to be a part of His redeeming plan. You see, whatever part God calls you in His plans of redeeming the world, however big or small, it is an honor and a privilege and the gracious choice of God. God, in His grace, chooses us to be a part of His redeeming plan. Let's look at that plan this morning and think about Mary and how we relate to that plan. First of all, let's look at the greatness of Mary's son. Luke tells us in chapter 1 about Zechariah and Elizabeth, an old priest and his wife who were childless. In chapter 1, he tells us that God blesses them with a child in their old age. And this child would be one who would prepare for the coming of the Messiah. In verse 26, it says, in the sixth month. Now, what is that talking about? That's talking about the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, when she was 6 months pregnant, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee, Nazareth, a small city, to a young woman named Mary. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Engaged, but more than engaged. You could not end a betrothal except by a legal divorce. But the scripture tells us that even though they were legally married, they were not yet living together. And Mary was a virgin who had not been intimate with any man and with Joseph. That's very clear in this passage of scripture. The angel appeared to her. He greeted her and told her she had been highly favored. Highly graced is actually what it says by God. He assured her from the beginning. He said, "The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you." Almost the very first thing he said was, "The Lord's with you." Now, Mary was going to need to know that. She was going to have something happen to her that never happened to any other woman in the history of the world. She was going to have to answer a lot of questions, and she wouldn't be able to answer a lot of questions. People would not understand what was happening to her. She was going to see the son that she bore go to a cross and pay the penalty for our sins. So immediately the angel informed her, "The Lord is with you." Aren't you glad to know if you're a believer, the Lord's with you? Aren't you glad to know, moms and dads, that even before your child is born, if you're a believer in the Lord, He's going to give you everything you need to raise that child? As my granddaughter has been born the last month, I think about that God has already provided my son and his wife with all everything they need to raise Mina the way he wants her to be raised. He's going to give that to him. He's already given it to him because he's given him his Holy Spirit. You see, never forget that. You know, you might be going through a rough time with some of your children. It's not always smooth. If you're a parent, you know that. It might be your adult children, but God will give you everything you need to love them and to influence them. He won't break their arm trying to get them to do His will, but He will give you everything you need to influence them to do His will. Well, Mary had no clue as to what this was about. The Lord's with her. Well, that's good to know, but why is an angel appearing to me? And the angel said to her, "Mary, don't be afraid." It's very interesting. Whenever an angel appeared, he usually told the people not to be afraid. They must be frightening in whenever they appear to men and women. And so he said, "Don't be afraid. You have been graced." Again, he says, "You've been greatly favored, greatly graced by God." God was going to use you as a part of His redeeming plan. And then he said to her, "You are going to conceive, and you're going to bear a son, and his name was to be Jesus." And then the angel told him about her son. He said, first of all, he would be great. Now notice that. Sometimes we just pass over that like it's nothing. But he didn't say he'd be great in the eyes of the Lord. He didn't say he would be great in front of his fellow men. He said he would be great. An unqualified kind of intrinsic greatness. You see, Jesus is by His very nature great in and of Himself. And then the angel said He'll be the Son of the Most High. The Most High was a designation for Almighty God. No one's higher than God. No one. In the Gospels, you often read about demons who recognized Jesus, and they said to Him, "Son of the Most High God, what are you messing with us for?" Basically. See, because that's a title of God. No one is higher than God. Jesus is God the Son of the Most High God. Then He said to her, He will reign. God would give her son the throne of his father David, and her son would reign over the house of Jacob forever, his kingdom having no end. Now, she, as a Jewish girl who had been brought up reading the law of God, learning about God and His Messiah and the history of Israel, would recognize that God was telling her that this son was going to be the Messiah, the Savior, that Israel had been expecting for hundreds and thousands of years. Mary's son would be the very Son of God, the Son of the Most High, the very Messiah, who was going to be the Redeemer of Israel. This young, ordinary, maybe 13 years old. Think about that, 13. from very humble circumstances, would bear the greatest human being ever born, the very Son of the Most High God, the Savior of Israel and the world. Mary was a receiver of God's grace. As He calls us, when He calls you to be a part of His kingdom, you're a receiver of God's grace. It's a privilege to be a part of God extending and expanding His kingdom. I get tired of people telling me how tough it is to be a Christian, how hard it is. I'm telling you, it's a privilege for God to call us to be a part of taking His gospel to the world, no matter what it would cost us. As we saw the missionary and we heard about the price that was paid by the women and the men who believed in Jesus, where he was serving in that part of the world. You see, it's a privilege, even though it is difficult at times. It's still the privilege of knowing the great God of the universe and being a part of what he is doing in the world. You see, because there's more to life than this life. Mary understood God's gracious choice of her and to be a part of expanding his kingdom. Secondly, see the uniqueness of the birth. Now, Mary had a question. Now, if you read the first part of Luke, you remember Zechariah had a question. But Zechariah's question was, I really don't believe this. I don't think it can happen. It's basically what he said. And the scripture says he was... The angel said, because you're not believing this, you're not going to speak for a while. Now, Mary's question was not, this can't happen. Mary's question was, how can this happen? Mary said, I'm a virgin. I've never had intimate relationships with a man. I the 21st century is not those who discovered the birds and the bees. Babies were not born without men and women being involved in all of history. People think that, Mary, because and Christians of the first century were gullible, they knew how babies were born just like we know how babies are born. It takes one man and one woman, and that's how it works. And Mary said, I'm a virgin. And so Gabriel answered her, and he said, Jesus, this son that you are going to be given is going to have a one-of-a-kind birth. You're going to have something happen to you that's never happened before and that will never happen again. Your child would be conceived not naturally, but supernaturally. The power of the Holy Spirit would enable her to conceive. The child would be called holy, separate, distinct, the very unique Son of God. There's not going to be any men involved in this. God is going to enable you to conceive this child. And the birth is going to be unique, supernatural, one of a kind, so that Jesus could be fully God, born of a human mother, and conceived by the Holy Spirit, fully God and fully man. Now, miraculous births were a part of God's plans, weren't they? If you read the Old Testament, John the Baptist's birth was miraculous. We know that Zechariah and Elizabeth were old. Zechariah didn't think it could happen. We read of the birth of Isaac, Abraham, and Sarah. Sarah did not believe that she would ever have a son. In fact, she gave her handmaid to Abraham because she didn't believe she could conceive. And then 14 years later, she conceived and had a child, right? It was a miraculous birth. Samson's birth was miraculous. And Samuel's, when you read 1 Samuel, how Hannah was childless, was barren. But God enabled them to conceive. But those were natural. God worked through the natural processes. Jesus' birth was unique, one of a kind, unprecedented. Because he was the greatest man ever born. He had the greatest birth that ever happened. He was born of a virgin. I've often heard, not often as much as I used to, but you often hear people say, it's not really essential that you believe the virgin birth. One of the commentaries that I have, every time I study this passage, he always says something stupid like that. And I think to myself, you've got to be kidding. Of course it's essential. You see, if Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, he's just like you and I. Because he was born of a virgin with God as his Father, the Holy Spirit enabled her to conceive, and with the human mother, he's fully God and fully man. It's an essential doctrine of the Christian faith. If you deny the virgin birth, you deny the deity of Jesus. It's just as simple as that. You say, well, it's hard. Of course it's hard to believe. It's a miracle. But if you can believe in the miracle that God raised Jesus from the dead, you can also believe the miracle that he was conceived of a virgin. You see, we know these things are difficult to believe. But they're essential that you as a believer hold on to them. And we proclaim them even though people don't want to believe. People don't want to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. But he did, physically, bodily, literally. And he was conceived in the womb of a virgin. His birth was unique. It never happened before, and it's never going to happen again. So we see the greatness of Mary's son, and we see the uniqueness of his birth. And then we see the miraculous testimony of the first witnesses. Now the angel told Mary about her relative Elizabeth, who conceived in her old age. Mary knew Elizabeth. She was barren, called barren. Actually, that's almost like a derogative title, the barren one. There's poor old Elizabeth, the barren one. She can't have any kids. Infertility is difficult in our day, but it was a disgrace during the time of Jesus. A woman who could not bear a child she thought herself disgraced. However, the barren one, Elizabeth and her son, her husband, in their old age, they were expecting a son, a miraculous birth. You see, God told Mary about Elizabeth, her kinsman, her relative. And basically, the Holy Spirit, the angel Gabriel on that day, pointed Mary to the only woman on earth she could discuss this with, because who else is going to believe her, right? And so he pointed her to Elizabeth, and to build Mary's faith, he said, nothing is impossible with God. No word of God shall ever fall, is basically what that says. Nothing is impossible with God. Whatever God says is going to come about, it's going to come about. God, that's because God is God. Mary, in complete submission, said, behold, I'm the servant, the bond slave of the Lord, the handmaiden, whatever. But she says, I don't understand this. I don't quite get how it's going to happen, but whatever God says, I'm submitting to his will. You see, that should be every one of us whenever God speaks to us. Whatever he says to us, if it's to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, submit to him. If it's to go to the ends of the earth, the hard places like we saw earlier this morning, we should do that. In complete submission and humility, she said, whatever the Lord wants, let it happen. Oftentimes, Mary has been overly elevated by some as if she was a dispenser of God's grace. That's a misunderstanding. Mary was a receiver of God's grace just like you and I. But she was a pretty good example of one who submitted to the Lord. Whenever you read about her, especially in Luke, you find her submitting and trusting in the plan of God. And so she submitted. As she submitted to God's plan, she submitted to his will, and then almost immediately she went to see Elizabeth in the hill country. She entered Zechariah's and Elizabeth's and greeted them. Now we passed it. She greeted them, but you know, here's Mary. She'd been given this message by the angel Gabriel. She walks in. She sees Elizabeth and Zechariah, and she sees a tangible proof that God's word's true, as Elizabeth is more than 6 months pregnant. Well, when Elizabeth saw her, her unborn baby had a reaction. You see, this was the forerunner, the Messiah, of the Messiah, who would prepare his way. And when Elizabeth heard her voice, the scripture says the baby in her leaped. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she knew exactly what was happening. Now, how would she? It was revealed to her by God. That's the only way she could have known. She knew what was happening. And then she said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Mary, you are blessed because you are the bearer of the Son of God. The most blessed woman because of the greatness of the one who would be her son." And notice she also said, Elizabeth confessed that she said, "Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" You see, Elizabeth recognized in the baby, in the womb of Mary, that even then he was her Lord. Jesus didn't become Lord by what he did. He's always been Lord, and he will always be Lord. And she said, "Blessed are you." She confessed that Mary's baby as Lord. "Blessed is the fruit of your womb." And she pronounced Mary again. She said, "Blessed is she who believed that there'd be fulfillment." You know, it'd be tempting if God told you something like this, it'd be tempting not to believe what he said. But Mary believed it. She trusted. She didn't understand how it's going to happen. But because she trusted and believed, she serves an example to us that we can trust and believe whatever God says to us. The barren one and her unborn miraculously testified to us who Jesus was on that day. Who Jesus was on that day. And who were these? This was an old priest and his wife. And he wasn't even the real high dog priest. He was just one of the lowly guys. And he was probably even looked down upon because he and his wife were childless. They were of the forgotten and despised by the world, but they are the ones chosen by God. Chosen by God as a witness to his great plan. You see, we often think we have to have some big platform before we can bear witness to the Lord. We think we got to be Tim Tebow or Russell Wilson or some rock star, Bono or somebody. Hey, whatever platform the Lord gives you, you use to tell about how great he is. You remember a few years ago, it was the Amish of Pennsylvania when some crazy person went into their one-room schoolhouse and killed many of their children. It was those Amish people who taught us about forgiveness. You see, the forgotten and despised by the world, God often chooses as his witnesses. You know, your stories that some of you share with me, you know, God uses those things as you share them with me and you share them with others to show how great a God he is. There's one more thing I want to point out in this passage of Scripture, and that's this, the beauty of the song of Mary's praise. Mary, in contrast to Elizabeth's loud outburst, had a simple song of praise. She says, "Her soul magnifies the Lord, her spirit rejoices in God, her Savior." Often this passage is called the Magnificat because it magnifies the Lord. Mary tells, first of all, of the great things that God has done for us. He looked on her humble state and chose her. Not some princess in a palace. He chose her to be the mother of his son. She said, God has done mighty things for her. And she understood the blessing that this was. Now think about this. This is Mary. You know, she's going to have to explain to her betrothed, Joseph. How can you explain this to Joseph? I mean, you can. In fact, God had to send Gabriel to Joseph so he could make it clear. She was going to endure ridicule from the town. You ever lived in a small town? I think Grady Nutt said, "I lived in a town so small that I couldn't even lust in my heart without everybody knowing it." I remember when I first moved to the small town of Kiowa, Kansas, And we had only lived there 3 months. One afternoon, we decided our son was born not soon after. So we were going to take him down to Oklahoma and let him meet his cousins and his grandparents, his aunt and uncles. I told one guy at about 4:30 that afternoon, and then we had a service that Wednesday night. Everybody there knew that we were going to Oklahoma. That's the way small towns work. She lived in a small town, and she was going to be the object of gossip. In fact, there are places in the scriptures where Jesus is almost called names in the book of John. They said, we didn't have an illegitimate birth. He was ridiculed because of it, and she had to be ridiculed. But she knew. She only focused on the blessing of being called by God. Don't get so wrapped up into how hard it is. You think it's hard to serve the Lord, just don't serve Him. You think it's hard to be a Christian. If you're not a Christian, that's what life is really hard. Some of you will testify to that for sure. God was going to allow her to be a part of what you're doing. And then she talked about how God was bringing about a great reversal. How God was bringing down the proud and the high and the mighty and lifting up the humble and the lowly of this world. God was bringing down princes and dynasty and the rich, but exalting the hungry, exalting the humble and filling the hungry with good things. You see, it's all reversed in God's sight. The first are last and the last are first. It's not the proud, it's not the powerful that God recognized. The scripture says, this is the one I esteem. He is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. That's God's economy. And so Mary sings this beautiful song to tell how great God is. You see, I think God wants to do that to every believer. I think to every believer, God wants to put a beautiful song that through your life, He can show the world how great He is. To show to the humble and the downtrodden of this world that God Most High wants to lift them up. He has a beautiful song that He wants to do through your life, just like He did through Mary's life. We know about Mary. She's an example to us. But we know about her because of the greatness of her son. That's how I want to be known. You know, that's how I want to be known. I want people to know of Bob Ray because of the greatness of his Savior. I don't care if they remember Bob Ray, but I hope they'll remember Jesus. Nancy, Hanks Lincoln, and Sarah Bush Lincoln, we know of them because of their connection to Abraham Lincoln. We know of Mary of Nazareth because of her connection to the Savior of the world. May that be how we are known. Let's pray together. Father, we love You and we thank You that it is in relationship with You that the humble are exalted and lifted up, that the hungry are filled, that the lowly, Lord, are exalted and made known. Oh, Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You don't look on any man as a respecter of his position or his wealth or his power. But You look on every man who will believe and trust in You and live for You and walk with You in humility. May this be true of each of our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.